I want to read verses from a few different places this morning, but I guess the theme of it is just some encouragement I received in reading through the book of Zechariah. I've been reading, I shared on it a few weeks ago about some of the encouragement I had about in chapter, I think it was 2, about not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And then again in chapter 8, I was encouraged on a more general theme, just about our Father's love for us and watching over us, and also the good he plans to do for us. And I think the theme in all that, though, is remembering that when times are difficult, and remembering that when we may be feeling a lack of hope or encouragement, that's probably some of the most important times to remember our Father's love for us, and that he does want to do good for us when we're feeling that lack of hope, lack of encouragement. And that is what we can place an anchor on and rely on and turn to and feeling that way. So let's just turn to Zechariah chapter 8, and then we'll go to a few other passages after that. In Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the holy mountain." And I was encouraged by that verse, because if you think about the context here, the Zechariah was prophesying once the exiles had returned and had started to begin to rebuild the temple. That's what some of his prophecies were around, were exhorting those who were in Jerusalem to build and to continue to press on with what the Lord had called them to. But at that time, Jerusalem was by no means a great mighty city or something that would be necessarily to those looking in from the outside, wow, the blessing of God is on this city. But what the Lord wanted them to know was that he was exceedingly jealous for Zion, and that he was going to return and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And when I read that word jealous, the thing that came to mind for me was just the thought of how a jealous husband or perhaps a father has his eye on the circumstances surrounding that which he cares about. We all know that in many contexts, jealousy has a negative connotation, but we know in the New Testament, there's a couple references to our Heavenly Father's jealousy for us. And it actually is a good context. Like Paul, when he talks to the Corinthians, he said he's jealous for the church with a godly jealousy. He has deep care and concern for them. He has an eye on them to say he doesn't want them to be deceived. He doesn't want them to be pulled away from God. And in James chapter 4, it says that the Heavenly Father has given the Holy Spirit. He's very jealous for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And once again, I see this as when we look at a verse here that says the Lord of hosts is jealous for Zion. It means that he has his eye. Like if you think of a jealous husband or somebody who's has that level of intense concern or intense longing for something, nothing escapes their gaze. Like as a Heavenly Father who's jealous, nothing is going on with his children is outside of his concern or care, what he's watching over. And what's more, he's watching over it very carefully. It's not a casual glance. Yeah, okay, I know what's going on over there, fine. Like sometimes we may watch our children that way if things are going on. Like a jealous father, a jealous husband watching over something, like there is nothing that escapes his gaze. There's nothing that escapes his oversight and his looking. And I just saw that and I read that. And I think that was important for the hearers then to understand that God was jealous for them, that even though they may feel neglected at times, they may feel surrounded by their enemies and in tough and in a difficult situation, what God is actually saying to them is to reminding them and telling them that he is jealous for them. He is watching over them and he is intimately aware of their situation and has deep care and concern for what is going on in their lives, for what is going on in Jerusalem. And what's more, he wants them to know that. He wants them to know that he's coming back and he's coming to them. And then it says, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand because of his age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in its streets." And I think that just, again, that imagery of what he's talking about there, if you think about what was going on, the surrounded by enemies, the city had been burned out and made desolate, and they're trying to rebuild it. Like, it must seem so far from where this promise is, that the city would have old men resting and old women resting in the square, and the city would have children running around playing in the streets. I thought that was kind of an encouraging image, that our Heavenly Father would use that as an example of his blessing, of just a city where the children are running and playing, and there's just peace there. It's a place of peace and a place of rest, and a place where the cares and the burdens are lifted. The cares, once again, there's laughter, there's playing, there's old men and old women resting and able to enjoy their old age without fear and without threats of the enemy. And these things are natural examples, but I do think, as I read this in my heart, it kind of stirred to my heart, like, this is what the Heavenly Father wants for us. This is what we have to hope in, is that he wants to have this level of peace and rest in our lives. This is what he desires for us. And this is what his promise is for those he's jealous for, is he wants to come and bring this. And it's not in the Old Testament, they were looking to see the city rebuilt. They were looking to see a natural recovery. They were looking to see the temple come back and the walls get up for protection, that there could have this protection from their enemies. But in the new covenant, this promise to us is for our hearts. This promise for us is that we could dwell in a place where there is peace, where there is rest, where the old are at rest and not concerned about the enemy coming in, and where you have, there's rest for the children because they know they're safe. The key here is they know they're safe because God is watching over them, because God is protecting them. And that's the part that can be applicable to us now, as we can feel like we're in situations where God is no longer watching over me. God's protection is no longer here. I know what I'm experiencing. I know what I'm feeling. And God is not in this. And that's not true. God is still jealous for us. God is still watching. And he still has a desire that we would still, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of tough circumstances, have a peace and rest to know that we're safe, we're secure, we're in his hands, and that we can trust him in his dealings, because he's a jealous Heavenly Father. He's watching over us carefully, and nothing that's going on is escaping his vision, escaping his gaze. And it says in verse 6, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts." And I was very encouraged by that verse. Just the thought that, you know what, even if it seems too difficult for us, even if our understanding and our hope is wearing thin, what we need to remember is that our Heavenly Father, it's not too difficult for him. It's not dependent on our ability to see a path out of a situation. It's not dependent on our ability to understand a situation. All it is asking is that we trust in our Heavenly Father. All it is asking is that we believe in our Heavenly Father, because it is not too difficult for him. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows the path we're on. He knows where we're going. He knew what was happening to the people in Jerusalem at that time as they were seeking to rebuild the temple. They're getting letters from the king saying stop, even though he told them to start, and they feel like, what's going on? It seems like maybe God's not blessing our rebuilding of the temple anymore. They had to trust them. The Lord says, even if it seems too difficult for you, even if you have no way of seeing, I think we can take this to say, even if we have no vision for us to see how this could ever get better or how this could ever work out, it does not mean that that's the case for God. Our Heavenly Father still, it's not too, even if it's too difficult for us to see it, it is not too difficult for our Heavenly Father to see a path out of the situation, to see the good that he's going to bring through difficulties and through trials. It's not too difficult for him, even if it seems completely impossible for us. And even if that's our heart situation, if that's, because at times I think each of us, some of us in more significant trials and some of us are in lesser trials, but I can say even in my own minor trials that came out of my heart, or I went through yesterday, out of my mouth came the words, well, it's impossible then. And it was an emotional, frustrated statement. And I have to think about that. It's like, no, it's not impossible. I have to, even if I feel that way, even if that's everything in my mind and my heart is saying it's impossible for this to improve or change, I have to say, well, okay, that's my mind and my heart, but it is not impossible for my Heavenly Father. And I have to believe that and hope that by faith that he can do it. Even if everything inside of me and everything in my mind and my heart is saying it is impossible, it is not too difficult for the Lord. And sometimes we just have to accept that and believe that by faith. And then I think the important verse, skip down to verse 9. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, You who are listening in these days to the word, to these words from the mouth of the prophets, those who spoke in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, to the end that the temple might be built. And he's saying that, I think it's important. So this is one of his exhortations. He's giving a lot of promises here. He's giving a lot of words of hope and promises for the future. But he is saying, like, you who are hearing these words, let your hands be strong. Let your hands be strengthened. You were here when I spoke that in the very first days when the foundation of the house is being laid and it seemed like a completely impossible task that the temple would be rebuilt. And it may seem impossible still now, but I want you to know that when you heard those words and you were listening to those words that I was going to do something here, that I was going to see that the temple was going to be rebuilt, don't doubt that. Don't stop believing that. That maybe those words, remember those words and strengthen yourself with them. Encourage yourself in them. Even though today it may not feel like God is working, it may not feel like God is using something for good. You have to remember that same words and the same promises that are there when we're encouraged and we're in hope are true when we feel no hope and we feel discouragement, that the end, that the temple will be built. God is going to do a work in our lives. He's going to complete that which he started, and he's going to see it through to completion. And we have to strengthen ourselves in that. We have to have our hearts be strong. We have to have our hands be strengthened through that encouragement. And it doesn't come through somehow figuring it out. It doesn't come through somehow having an understanding to say, okay, now I have clarity what God is doing. I understand what's going on here. Now I can be encouraged. Quite the contrary. It has to do with believing what God has said, even when everything else is contradictory and says, God, I'm going to choose to believe this. I'm going to choose to hold on to this today, even if my emotions aren't going to follow, even if the circumstances aren't going to follow. I'm still not going to deny the fact that your word is truth, and I can strengthen myself in that. I can build my foundation around that. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 27. Just taking me a second to turn there. I like this because it talks on both parts here. It says in chapter 27, Psalm 27, verse 13, it says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So there's a few things there that stood out to me. There's an aspect of fighting off despair, fighting off hopelessness by believing that we serve a good God and that he is going to be good to us and that his hand and what he's allowed is not, what we're experiencing is not outside of his control. He's still has our best in mind, and he still is a good heavenly father, and we can trust him, and we can trust in his love for us. I was reading something encouraging on Friday night about failure. It's something we probably, many of us have read about the book about why God allows failure. And one of the most important things for me was remembering in the midst of failure or in the midst of circumstances that are making us seem completely weak in our own futility, one of the key anchors, or perhaps the key anchor we have to hold on to, is our Heavenly Father's love for us, that he loves us. And in the book, it says, like, even if you've come to a place where you've failed 1,000 times, as long as our heart's desire is not to fail again, then you can rest confidence in your Father's love. You can rest confident that he wants to pick us up, that he wants to dust us off, that he wants to allow us and strengthen us through this. And we're not beyond seeing God's goodness or be seeing his purposes fulfilled in our life. And if we're in trials that are difficult and we feel like we're completely out of any ability to have a hopeful heart or have a mind that's renewed or a mind that's strengthened in it, then we have to anchor on something deeper than our own feeling and our own emotion or even our own response to the trial. Even if our own response to the trial is a total failure and totally despairing in our heart, then we got to go deeper and put our anchor in the fact that our Heavenly Father still loves us. that we can't deny that. That's where we have to put our hope. It says, it would have despaired unless I would believe, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's how we combat despair, is to continue to believe in our Heavenly Father's love for us and to hope in that, even when there seems like no hope anywhere else. And especially when we feel like we're failing in a situation, because I can say that for myself personally, as I've gone through trials and I've seen my own failure in the trial, have I seen my own inability to overcome, and I just see how I am just discouraged and overwhelmed, that is a place where the enemy wants to come and just push us down further. We're down and we're discouraged, and the enemy is there to just push us down further. And our Heavenly Father is there putting his hand out saying, get up. I still love you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I don't want you to stay in this state. And he has no condemnation there. He just says, get up, believe, trust in me. I still love you. I'm good. And that's where we have to put our hope when we feel like we're in absence of hope. And it says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. So this strengthening, I think it refers to the strengthening of the hands that we read about in Zechariah as well. This strengthening is not a strengthening of ourself. It's not about saying I'm going to overcome in this and somehow I'm going to do better, because I can say, I mean, that's a good desire to have, but I can tell you, when we're in the midst of discouragement and we're feeling overwhelmed in a trial, just determination or desire to do better, those may be good things, but they alone are not enough to lift us up. What we have to do is we have to wait on the Lord. We have to basically just stop ceasing to strive in our own hearts and say, I'm going to wait on the Lord. And the one thing I'm going to do is stop believing lies that say, my Heavenly Father doesn't love me. My Heavenly Father doesn't know what I'm going through, or I'm abandoned here and it's never going to change. And this is somehow not going to work out for good. This is not going to be for my good or for the good of those I love. We have to say, no, I'm going to silence that and I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord and trust in him. And that's where we can find strength. And it stops trying to figure it out, stops trying to overcome our own strength, and says, I'm just going to wait on the Lord and put my hope in him. And that's where we can find strength. And that's where we can find courage. And it's not of ourselves. And I can say also, it says, I'm not going to understand what the Lord is doing. Yes, understand what the Lord is doing. It's like, no, wait. God will make it clear in his time. He'll give clarity in his time. He'll give us hope and encouragement, but it's not, it comes through waiting on him and not through figuring it out or through anything of ourselves. It's through hoping and waiting in him. And that's where we can find the strength and the encouragement. And there's a similar verse in Hebrews chapter 12. This is speaking of discipline, and I'm not saying that everybody who's going through a trial is going through discipline, but there are times when we do go through discipline, and the Father's trying to teach us something about what we can do better. But I think it still applies to both situations, that in the midst of these difficulties, in the midst of situations that are not joyful, that are sorrowful, that are difficult, it says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So what does this mean? To strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Well, I think it reflects to me again to what we've been talking about, to what we've been, the verses we've been reading about waiting on the Lord, about hoping in our Heavenly Father, about reminding ourselves of our Heavenly Father's love for us. When we're feeling discouraged, when we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling like a failure, this is how we strengthen those weak hands. This is how we lift up those, or put strength. This is how we make our path straight, by taking out of the way through the enemy's lies and removing those things that are telling us that this is hopeless, that we should just give up, or that it's never going to change, or that the Heavenly Father isn't going to actually use this for good. Those are lies that have to be silenced. Those are things that make us want to trip, that we have to get those out of the way and say, no, the scripture says to wait on the Lord, to hope in him, and to believe that he is going to use this for good in my life, and that he is going to heal this joint that is out, that he's going to restore, and that he's going to encourage, and that there's going to be a peaceful fruit of righteousness from these difficulties that I'm going through. This is how we have to strengthen those hands that are weak and those knees that are feeble. And I think there's two things here. Like, it's a command. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. So it is a command. It's not, we're supposed to sit idly by and let the just waves of discouragement and despair continue to wash over us. But I also think it's important when trying to say, okay, well, how do I strengthen the hands that are weak? And how do I strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble? How do I do that? Well, I think it's important to realize that it's not necessarily about changing. Okay, I'm just going to change how I'm responding to this trial. I'm just going to do better next time. No, it's more about saying, I'm going to fix my eyes on my Heavenly Father. I'm going to remind myself of His promises, that He's a good Heavenly Father and that He loves me and that He knows what's going on in my circumstances and knows what's going on in my life. And I'm sure there may be deeper and broader understanding and other ways that we can learn to strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. But I'm confident in these ones. I'm confident in those truths, saying, yes, that is one way that we can absolutely strengthen those hands and knees, is to remind ourselves of our goodness of our Heavenly Father and remind ourselves that He loves us and remind ourselves that He's jealous for us. He knows what's going on. He has a complete clarity and nothing is escaping His understanding. He knows exactly what's going on and is intimately there, and He is still jealous for us and still desiring for us to overcome and to be close to Him. And He's watching over all these circumstances and allowing it, but it's not that it's just because we've outside of, it's escaped His notice or somehow He's not caring anymore. We have to remind ourselves of these truths, that He's still there, still loves us, and is still watching over us. And I think that's, for me, I mean, I know that many are going through significant trials, and I don't want to say this, and I share these verses with some trepidation, knowing that perhaps I haven't experienced them to the full, but I do believe in these promises. There's anchors that we can hold on to, and there's truths that we can hold on to when the despair wants to come, when the discouragement wants to come, that we can believe these things and know that we need to wait on the Lord. We need to continue to hope in Him, and that as a Heavenly Father, He is jealous for us, and He is going to do good for us, and He is going to make our lives like a well-watered garden. He wants to have just rivers of living water flowing out of us. And if it's difficult right now, that's not to be discouraged, to say, well, where are there rivers of living water? I must be off track, or I must be doing something wrong. Well, one thing we can certainly say is the answer doesn't come through fretting and worrying about that. The answer comes from waiting on the Lord, trusting in Him, and saying, Father, work it out in my life. Accomplish that which You desire me. I, despite everything I feel right now, and despite all the emotions and all the things that are going on in my mind, and all the lies that are coming about what this means, I'm just going to trust You, know You're going to use this for good, continue to hope in You. I'm not going to doubt Your love for me. I'm going to continue to believe in that, and I'm going to wait and see You deliver me. I'm going to wait and see You lift me out of this and help me to overcome.